1997, the Lord, in answer to some 6 years of concerted prayer, of which many in this church can testify to, for they were in the prayer meetings morning and night, every single day, with the exception of Sunday, seeking God. And I still maintain that same type of prayer life. But crying to God for a moving of His Spirit, but more so for the Lord to give direction as to His Word regarding living a godly, sanctified, consecrated life. Let me tell you this, you cannot properly live for God. I didn't say you couldn't be a Christian, but I said you cannot properly live for God unless you understand God's prescribed order of victory. He has only one, not ten, not five, not two, just one. And that prescribed order is that you ever understand that Christ is the source of all things. The entirety of the Bible portrays Christ. From the very beginning, it's Christ. All of it is our Lord Jesus. And the means by which He gives us all things is the cross of Christ. I didn't even really know that for which I was seeking. I didn't honestly know that for which to ask the Lord. I just knew that what I knew at the time, even though God had and was using me greatly to touch much of the world for Christ, that still there was something missing. Not knowing what was missing, not having heard any preacher preach it or any book that said anything about it, I did not know that for which to ask. But all I could do was weep and say, Lord, You know that for which I ask. He knows the tears, the heartache, the broken heart, the questions that loomed and there seemed to be no answer. When you have done everything within your power, and hear this carefully because it is important. When you have done everything within your power to live for God to the best of your ability. When your prayer life has been what it ought to be. And when you have sought God earnestly. Doing the best that you knew how. And still not know the answer. The hurt and the pain goes beyond comprehension. Especially then when the church begins to laugh at you. And begins to make fun of you. And to ridicule you. If you don't have a firm hold on Christ, you won't be able to stand it. And I remember that early morning hour. I guess it must have been about 6 a.m. I get to the office anywhere between 5 and 6 every day. And I was studying in the great 6th chapter of Romans. Just before I went to our daily radio program over the network, A Study in the Word. And I love every word of this book. But there is something about Romans that's the Magna Carta of my life. Because I was in that great 6th chapter of Romans when the Spirit of God came upon me. And a few moments' time, He began to show me the answer. First, He showed me the problem. He told me, He said, the problem is the sin nature. You don't understand about the sin nature. And if you do not understand it, it will rule your life in some way, just as it did before you were saved. It will not rule and reign as it did totally, but it will in some manner. No matter how hard you try otherwise. I don't care how consecrated you are. If you do not understand what God gave to the Apostle Paul as it regards the new covenant. But you see, the sin nature is a result of the fall. And before you got saved, it controlled you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you might say, well, there's no such thing as a sin nature now that I'm saved. Well, Paul spent a lot of time explaining something that doesn't exist. 17 times in the 6th chapter of Romans, he mentions the sin nature. 17 times. I know it doesn't have it in your King James Bible, but when he wrote it originally in the Greek, it was there. And the Lord said, the problem is you don't understand the sin nature. You don't understand how it works. You don't understand how to overcome it. He didn't give me any answer as far as to how to overcome it. He just told me. He said, the problem is the sin nature. I listen today to preachers over television. I don't listen much because I can't stand it much. When I know that Interstate 10 goes toward New Orleans, and I have somebody I hear them telling somebody to go to New Orleans on Highway 19, and I know they're going to wind up in Ameet, Louisiana somewhere, I can't help it. It bothers me. How do I get to New Orleans? And there is a four-lane highway out there, but somebody's telling them, no, you go to 427 out here and drive 18 miles until you hit an oak tree, and then you turn on Highway 46 and it's on, and they wind up in some slough of despond. So I can't listen to it much. I see the big signs come on television, Reformation Ministry, and they couldn't reform a drunk. I hear another one, Victory Ministry. I don't know what victory is. I'm not knocking them. God knows my heart. I'm not. I know, no doubt they are sincere. But when that early morning came in one of those prayer meetings that the Lord spoke to my heart and said, now I'm going to tell you the answer to the sin nature. The answer for which you seek is the cross. The solution for which you seek is the cross. And it's not one of five solutions or two solutions. It is the only solution. There remaineth one sacrifice for sin, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the reason we preach the cross, we sing the cross, we shout the cross, we talk the cross, we dream the cross, we pray the cross. You say, well, I get tired of hearing it. If you ever go to somebody's home that they were saved on the mighty Atlantic Ocean from a ship that went down, and somebody shoved them a life raft, and you walk into their living room and they got a big encased frame on the wall and an old cruddy looking life raft in the middle of it, and you ask them, what is that? Oh, they'll say, I'm glad you asked. I was going down. The briny waters were going in down in my throat. I was drowning, but somebody shoved me a raft, and there it is right there. I want you to look at it. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. I was going down, but the cross picked me up. I was going down, but the cross picked me up. I was going down, but the cross saved me. The church today is going crazy over self-improvement. I flicked on TV the other day, and the preacher was preaching on how to relax. That's what the idiot was saying. Well, I'm going to show you. We'll just solve that problem right now. That's it. You don't have to memorize any scriptures. If you're a drunk, you can do it. He wasted an hour of time telling me something I already knew how to do. I could go on and on like that all night, but it's not worth the time. Self-improvement. The whole church is going crazy over self-improvement. Let me tell you something. Now, hear me. You cannot improve yourself. I don't care what you do. I don't care who you are. Just about 7 months roll around, or six months, I guess it is now. Well, New Year roll around, and you can make your New Year's resolutions, the same one you've been making for the last 20 years. I can look at some of you. You lose weight, and you gain it right back. You can't improve self. But the Holy Ghost can improve self. The Holy Spirit can improve self. The Holy Spirit can improve self.